Hello, you're listening to Laser Graves, a podcast where we dig up movies, music, books, and events from the 80s and discuss how rad they were. How's it going?
Hi. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Laser Graves. I'm your host, E.K. Wimmer, and you are?
I am the Lord of the Dogs.
Okay, there you go. And that's that.
Woot!
I'm
sorry. I shouldn't have wooted.
Yeah, that was weird.
I never woot.
Hopefully you guys enjoyed last week's episode, which was that R.L. Stine book, The Babysitter.
What, though? We got to talk about what happened.
What happened?
R.L. Stine liked...
Oh, yeah, I know. Was that not
the
bonkers?
Gram. That was amazing.
The R.L. Stine actually liked our podcast post on Instagram.
Our 42 followers on Instagram. He didn't follow us yet. We need to just tag him in every post.
That would be amazing. That doesn't involve him at all.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He'll just finally like get sick of it and start following us.
We could just talk about R.L. Stine in every post until he starts following us.
He's got a fun Instagram, though, so that was cool that he liked us.
Him.
I do.
Oh.
All the cool kids do.
Nerd alert.
Oh, nerd alert? Because you were reading what tonight in the bath?
Oh, it's not R.L. Stine.
I know, I'm just, that's okay. Why it's a nerd alert.
I know, and I like R.L. Stine.
Oh, you guys will find out in a few weeks from now what she was reading, because we're going to cover it.
Wait till Helen comes!
Why'd you say it?
Because we've already dropped that bomb in another episode.
Okay, well, there you go. how's it going?
Great!
Yeah?
Yeah, actually, I'm good.
Yeah? Did you do anything this week that was exciting?
We got a new water heater, which sound exciting.
This is the place to talk about it.
No, it is, because here's the deal. Being an adult kind of sucks, and it's things like getting a water heater, where you're like, woohoo, I spent a grand on hot water. Which you're looking, I see you looking at me thinking, why are you talking about our hot water heater? But we went days without hot water, and it was sort of like... I've never watched Survivor, not even an episode, but it felt kind of like I imagine that would be.
Yeah, I wanted to put a note on our front door for like mail delivery that said, come back later, we're suffering from first world problems.
It was such a first world problem, but it was so terrible.
Yeah, it did actually suck to not have hot water.
I got desperate days in and washed my hair because it was like super greasy, and I felt like I looked like I could be an extra in The Poltergeist or something, with like hair stuck to my skull and then dried.
Oh yeah, I felt like the
flailing
crypt keeper,
out,
like the crypt keeper.
Oh yeah, good one.
And then I broke down too because I had to go to work, which was good because I later found out that I was supposed to like be presenting and talking to an entire class.
Can you imagine?
No,
if you've been all
disgusting
greasy?
Hair. But I had luckily washed my hair right before I left, and but it was like those
a cold
weird
shower.
It was like those polar bear divers that like jump into an ice hole.
Well, an ice hole.
Yeah, look at that ice hole.
It's such an ice hole. So yeah, it's winter here. So it wouldn't be a big deal if it were the dead of summer in New Mexico. We'd be like, great, no hot water, who needs it? But instead it's cold.
Yeah.
And when you get yourself wet with cold water, it's a different experience. I don't know why people jump into ice holes. Maybe they are ice holes, but...
They're big old ice holes.
Whatever. I would never do that. That seems like the stupidest thing
it's
in the world.
It's dumb. Like, you have something to prove.
I've got nothing to prove. Yeah. Not anymore.
I would, instead of an ice hole, I'd probably jump into, like, a cornhole. So, I had an interesting week. I had a good find.
You're just transitioning into thrifting.
Sure, yeah. Thrift finds of the week. This should have been like a regular feature on Laser Graves.
Oh.
My big find.
Okay, Cornhole.
Was an original VHS first copy of Purple Rain, which made me so excited. Mm-hmm. And so that was my big find of the week. Yours?
At a thrift store?
Mm-hmm. Was it the basket for our kids' dolls?
No, that was disappointing. I had big plans for that basket.
I thought you had big plans, and today the girls were like going to play in it. And I said, you know, you can't get in that. That's mom's basket. And then you just put all their dolls in it.
It was like a mom rage thing where I put all the dolls in a basket.
Yeah.
No, I got some clothes, nothing exciting.
All right. Well, we haven't really been doing much lately. We've been busy, so.
Busy with hot water heaters.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like this is off to a really exciting start.
I feel like I'm going to be editing a lot of this out. We'll see.
No, definitely not. This
maybe
is
when
thrilling.
I go back and listen, I'm going to be like, that
material.
Was so funny.
Wow.
Hot water, that whole bit about the hot water heater. Wow.
But it was true. Oh, I did get a new sticker for the front door that says, solicitors, please go away because I'm socially awkward. So I'm going to put that up after I paint the front door.
Good. Something cool. I was out
of
town. Yeah, I was out of town last night.
You ditched
us. Got
back
today. Because one of the films I did was in the Santa Fe Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
So the director and producer and then the writer and actor flew in from L.A. and we all met up in Santa Fe and had a night, and that was really fun to watch the film. It was well received. Mm-hmm. I had not seen the final cut yet, mm-hmm. so that was pretty cool to see how
yeah,
it all went together.
It,
all the color was corrections were put in, and the audio was all fixed and everything. So that was really cool, and people seemed to really like it. But
so,
it was fun.
Well, I have a question. Mm-hmm. When you've been to a few of these, like. Do you call them viewings? That sounds like you're at a funeral.
Normally they're like film premieres.
Screenings.
Or screenings is a good
There's
one.
There's the word. You wouldn't say viewings. I really think that's funerary. Anyway.
Well, for some of them they could be.
So when you've been involved, do you sit in the front, in the middle, sides, back? Where do you sit? Like, what's etiquette?
I move around the whole entire time.
That's
weird. No, I'm joking.
Just like army crawling from seat to seat.
I don't know. I guess it just depends. I don't have strong opinions. I just have to sit in the middle, no matter where we're at. So
you don't have strong opinions.
I have very strong opinions about sitting in the middle, because I'm like super obsessive compulsive. But if it's in the front, back, middle of the seating arrangement, I don't care. As long as I'm in the middle of wherever we're going to be in the area.
There's no, like, standard for
no,
where
I
the cast
so.
And crew are
no,
supposed
I
to
mean,
sit?
No, I mean, some are, like, going to be down front so they can easily get up to do, like, a Q&A afterwards. There's some hide out in the back because they're really nervous and stuff. So I just, if I go to a premiere with a friend that also worked on the film, I just let them choose, and then I let them know that wherever they choose, I have to sit in the middle seat.
So at the Q&As, when people are clapping and they walk up front, do the directors and actors usually walk up clapping for themselves?
Yeah, right.
No, seriously, do they? Because I feel
no.
like they would.
No, they don't.
Not just these two, but in general,
no,
I just feel like they'd run up.
I've not seen that. Huh. Sorry.
Well, maybe you should start a new trend.
Oh, well, but that was fun last night. Had a good time. No. Yeah, I mean, that was it. It got back this morning and, yeah, I had a good time.
We went and had donuts because we're daily donut or Saturday donut people.
Yep, sure did.
Okay.
Okay, guys.
Oh, time to transition.
Were we talking about something this week? We are. We're talking about, we're doing an event. We haven't done one since Max Headroom. So we're doing
Headroom.
We're doing The Noid, which anybody who is our age or older should.
Or younger, but not too much.
Not too much younger.
A bit.
Would definitely know The Noid. Do you have memories of it?
Yeah, I do have memories of The Noid. I kind of remember a video game, but I never played it. Maybe I did, but I don't think I did. And then the commercials, the claymation commercials stuck with me over anything else. But I know there were both cartoon and claymation.
Well, mainly claymation. But
was there then a cartoon of The Noid? I guess you'll get to
yeah,
your
we'll cover it. Yeah, I loved the commercials were super cool. The stop motion animation was really neat. And then mm-hmm. I even had a little Noid figure at some point.
Mine I was think like everybody did.
Oh, I definitely think so. Mine was one of the do you remember those weird like yellow rabbits that had bendy arms and legs?
Yes,
and stuff?
They all were. Yeah. With the like wire inside.
Yeah, and they like blue, yellow, pink. Mm-hmm. I had one of those that was like the Noid, but with wiry arms. So yep. That style of like rubber body where you could, it was like a bendable figure.
Did they come with the pizzas?
No, they just, you could, well, I don't know how, now thinking about it.
Yeah, I have no memory of
getting
them.
There were tons of toys that you could buy, like figurines and stuff, but I don't remember how you got them.
Okay.
It must have been like with some kind of giveaways or specials or something. But the Noid was incredibly popular.
That's so weird.
Well, we're going to find out.
Why?
So that's the point of this episode. Oh. So the Noid was created in 1986. That's why we're covering it on Laser Graves, even though it went into the early 90s.
Who cares?
It doesn't matter. It got its start in the 80s, therefore it's fair game. Do you know anything about it before I launch into it?
Just like as much as any other human
on
this
planet.
Was,
yeah, like a marketing,
I
like
know
a mascot.
It was Domino's, and I know... Right. Claymation.
Okay, well,
video game.
You ready to launch into it? The Noid?
I suppose so. Let's do it.
Okay. So the Noid was created in 1986 by Group 243. They were an advertising agency that worked for Domino's Pizza, and they were
Group
tasked.
Do they still exist?
I don't know, actually. I didn't really care enough to look it up. Because the second I saw advertising agency, I was like, okay.
You just fell asleep.
Yeah, totally got bored.
Drifted off. Yeah. 6 months later, you woke up.
They were tasked with finding somebody to draw up preliminary sketches of this figure, the Noid, because they had this idea. It comes from the word annoyed. Mm-hmm. And then you break it down to and Noid, and then you get the Noid.
It's brilliant.
It's so brilliant. It's marketing genius. Yeah. No,
was
they
this
thought of that.
The Domino's.
I think
did?
Domino's, like the advertising agency, thought of it. And they were looking to create a character that was like this manifestation of
annoyance?
Of, well, not getting your pizza in time. Being annoyed that your pizza doesn't get there. Oh. And then by the time it gets there, it's cold. It's
That's
late.
Very abstract.
It's very abstract, but it worked brilliantly. So that was the premise. And then who they finally settled on was Will Vinton. I know the name Will Vinton. I don't know if you do.
Absolutely not.
So Will Vinton is...
Was he on Star Trek?
No.
Okay.
He had his own... He had his own studio. He was a pioneer. He's kind of the father of stop motion like claymation.
Oh, I was thinking for The Voice. Okay.
No, he was the creator. He actually coined and trademarked the term claymation. This is the guy who started it all.
Ding, ding.
Yeah, he's really cool. And we'll get into him in just a sec because you're going to be really excited about his backstory. But they approached him in his studio because he was a big shot at the time. He had done some films and some other
big
commercials.
Shot.
And he did some sketches, and then Domino's, like the advertising agency, ported the sketches, and they settled on this character of the Noid, which is, let's describe him. I mean, most people probably know what he looks like, and you'll see him on our social media, but he's like in a skin-tight bodysuit with rabbit ears and a mask that's red, and he's got a white circle with a big black N for Noid over his chest. And he talked in these really, like, high-pitched squeals and laughs and stuff.
But you could tell he was, like, a human because he had, like, skin tone around his mouth.
Like he was kind of like a, not a,
a demon.
He was not a demon. he was like a nuisance, you know, a troublemaker.
Pest.
A prankster, a pest, yeah.
John Leguizamo.
The Pest.
Yes.
Oh, we do not need to talk about that film. So anyway, they went to Will Vinton.
Did you watch that film?
We watched it. Remember? And I was irritated. That is probably one of the most obnoxious movies ever made in the history of cinema.
I have no memory of it. Okay, anyway, back to the Noid.
I'll show you just a trailer later of it, and you will have horrid flashbacks.
Okay.
You'll need to, like, call a therapist and be like, I had repressed all of this. Okay, so Will Vinton did the sketch. They settled on the Noid, like, what we know. And then they tasked him with his studios doing the animation, the claymation for the advertising. Now, where you'll know him, two of the high-profile ones that he did were other characters for commercials. The biggest one was California Raisins.
Oh, yeah.
So he did that.
For sure, I see that instantly.
And then he also did the M&Ms, like the talking M&Ms. He was the one that created the whole animated M&Ms. That's who later went into like computer animation. Huh. But yeah, so he was already a big shot. But the one that you're going to love, which I knew, this is what I was excited about because of how closely it's related to another episode, is he's the one that did all the stop motion and claymation for Return to Oz.
Oh, yeah.
So it was his studio
cool.
that did all the like Gnome King and the rocks and everything like that.
Oh.
Yeah. He's a really cool dude, too. I saw an interview with him when we were doing the Return to Oz episode where he talked about the animation that he worked on. And
okay.
stuff.
Does he look like Jerry Garcia? Because that's what I
imagine. No, he looks like he's got the horseshoe hair with bald and then a big handlebar mustache.
Oh, what
or not a
handlebar, delight.
But like a. What would that be?
Just the little curly cues?
Like the Irish boxer mustache where okay. it like curls up.
Yep.
But not like curl like a Dutch dandy, but like a
Dutch dandy.
You know what I mean? You know, the like, you know, like every Rembrandt figure.
A historical journey of the mustache.
But more just that like upturned fun mustache. He was a really cool guy, real nice guy, but he was a super big pioneer in stop motion animation. So yeah, Return to Oz. That was like wow. groundbreaking. So this is who did the Noid.
Weird.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that cool though? I like that.
Small world.
Well, it gets even better because I've got another one that's good for you.
Do it.
The voice of the Noid, who did all the weird talking and high-pitched laughs and
Ugh,
stuff like that.
Yeah, who?
Done by Pons Mar. Do you remember that name?
The name sounds familiar, but I can't place it.
You should, because it was your job during the same Return to Oz episode to research him. He was the head wheeler.
Ah!
Yeah.
Oh, he's so scary, but so good.
So cool. He's a voice actor. He's done like a billion things, but... he was the voice of the Noid. So you had the guy who did all the stop motion animation for Return to Oz and the guy who was the head wheeler doing the Noid. How cool is that?
I don't know what to like.
I love it all.
Where to organize that in my brain.
Okay, so there's the background of the character.
Fascinating.
Their slogan, avoid the Noid, right?
So avoid being annoyed by late pizzas.
Mm-hmm.
It is annoying.
So do you remember any of the commercials?
None. Zero.
You didn't even like watch one prior to this episode?
No, because you told me to stay away from this.
Well, I mean, you could watch an episode. I just meant like don't research the background.
No, I just like avoided the Noid.
Wow. Very appropriate. So the commercials were usually a series of pizza, you know, trying to get to somebody and the Noid trying to stop it in these really great, clever kind of stop motion animation scenarios mm-hmm. where he would either have like a freeze gun and would try and freeze the pizza so that by the time it got to you, it'd be cold, or he would try and stop the pizza so it didn't get there in 30 minutes and you would mm-hmm. get it for free, or he'd have these big, what is it called? The bouncing...
Pogo stick.
Pogo stick with like a block on the bottom that he would try and crush the pizzas. Mm. They're my favorite one. I'm sure some of the listeners out there will remember because I definitely loved it, was where he's this like wizard that tries to cast a spell to turn it into like cold and old and stuff like that. But then when he shoots the spell at the pizza, it bounces back and turns him into like an old man. It's really funny. And there's another really cool one too that was not really more common. But one of them, he's sitting at an arcade shooting, like the game is to shoot pizzas, but it shoots back at him because it's, and like electrocutes him because it's a Domino's pizza. So I don't know, it was all real fun, real easy marketing.
Yeah.
It was an instant success. I mean, like brilliant as far as marketing
really?
Went. Because, well, everybody associated the Noid with Domino's pizza. Like you had a mascot now. It was like,
yeah.
like McDonald's, basically. I mean, you know exactly... what pizza place that was.
I was just about to go, who's McDonald's mascot?
But it set Domino's apart from all other pizza
yeah.
places. So then as it was kind of blown up, everything was going great. And then that's where you started to see kind of like Max Headroom when we went over that, where mm-hmm. it went from being like a one thing to just infiltrating all of pop culture.
Like a marketing campaign.
Absolutely. People started wearing like Avoid the Noid shirts.
Can you imagine finding
dude,
one?
Be so
Where
cool.
are they all?
eBay for like $1 billion.
Did you already look?
I did. There are some really cool vintage ones. I wish I did have one. We've never once in our
I've billion never years seen one. Thrifting. I would have bought it.
Yeah, I would have definitely bought one too. There were some really cool vintage shirts, but really heavy on the toys and buttons and hats, all kinds of, you know, things like that. And then where it started to really break is in the late 80s, Commodore 64 released, well, not late 80s, I should say, like mid-80s. Well, no, late, because it was created in 86, so it had been shortly after that. Commodore 64 did an Avoid the Noid video game, which was hella boring, but it was the first kind of crack into pop culture like that.
What a weird thing to do, to be like, you know, we sell pizzas, and now we also sell video games.
There were some other ones, though. I was trying to think about that. I know 7-Up had a video game. Kool-Aid had one. Remember?
I remember
you could be
the
like the Kool-Aid guy.
No,
one.
I don't remember Kool-Aid, but I remember 7-Up.
Well, like advertising games. Yeah. And so that's basically what it was to help sell your product. And then the one that everybody else will actually remember, if anybody played, because I played it as a kid, was the Yo Noid, the NES game from 1990.
Oh, I think that's the one I remember.
And that was more traditional, like a typical NES game. So yeah, they had broke into video games now, and then they were starting to get really ambitious. And then in 88 is when CBS got the bright idea to develop a Saturday morning cartoon called The Noids. And with that,
plural?
Yeah, The Noids. It was like a group of Noids that were like
were
causing trouble.
Were they related?
They were inbred.
Obviously.
Took place in Alabama. No, wait, no. Just kidding.
We lost our Alabama listeners.
Oh, they weren't listening anyway. So the Noids were supposed to be this group of, like, you know, troublemakers and misfits. But it, surprise, got axed right away because it was like...
it was dumb?
It was advertising. It wasn't like a Saturday morning cartoon.
They're like, yo, people.
So, but I... man, I feel like I'm talking a lot on this episode. Well, you'll take it over in here in a bit.
I will.
Okay.
I'll blab.
So one thing I did was found a article from 1988 from the New York Times. Well, it was pretty cool. It was an article talking about, an article talking about the development of this cartoon and the debate. It was a big deal. It was like hotly debated on if Domino's like mascot should have a Saturday morning cartoon.
I feel like it was all at the same time as like the when the New Kids on the Block cartoon was coming out, and they're like, just keep
them coming,
just keep going.
Yeah, so
see how far we can push this.
Well, it was interesting. So I wrote down a few quotes because I thought you'd find this fascinating, and our listeners too, is because this is, keep in mind, we're talking about just a pizza mascot that they're trying to develop into a cartoon. So in the article, this woman named Peggy Sharon, she was the head of the Action for Children's Television. It was like a lobbying campaign.
I know them.
And she said, quote, "This is not a program. This is a commercial disguised as a program." And she was like saying,
right,
you can't be putting this in front of our kids and manipulating them and stuff like that. But then the vice president of children's programming at CBS, her name was Judy Price, she fired back and said, "We do not see it as a commercial for Domino's Pizza. It's not called Domino's Pizza. It's called The Noids. We've taken a character who's an anti-hero, and we're making him special for children."
Whoa.
Yeah.
So she was, like, just shoving Domino's money in her pockets as she said that?
Oh, like, what's-his-face from the last week's episode where he folds up pizza and puts it in his pocket? Chuck. From The Babysitter.
It's all connected.
It's all connected. So she... you know, she was basically saying, like, get over it. It's just a cartoon. But no, they won out. It went all the way. It went to Congress. It went to the Federal Communications Commission. Like, they were going to develop, like, legislation on keeping advertisers and companies from infiltrating cartoons for children because it was creeping up more and more.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was kind of an interesting twist on this whole thing. And so it got cut. Like, it never happened. The cartoon just... didn't happen.
Well, I saw it, so it did happen.
No, I've you probably saw it. Like a commercial for it.
Really? It like never aired?
No,
because
there was
I
never...
I feel like I've seen it.
Well, unless I'm wrong, but I have found no evidence that there was Noids cartoon.
What's even real?
Yeah, right. Oh, you're in the Matrix where you watch Noids cartoons. So that's kind of the pop culture side of how it started to just grow, get bigger and bigger. It became this cultural phenomenon. The thing, though, that was starting to creep up during all this is Domino's had the 30-minute guarantee. This was their big thing, right? Like, and I remember this growing up in the 80s as a kid. Like, oh, hell yeah.
I feel like it still exists because even...
People think it does.
Yeah, because even now I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's been like an hour since I ordered pizza. I'm going to call the president. Well, not our president. I'm going to call somebody with authority and ask them to intervene because my pizza's late.
He'll declare a state
national
of emergency.
Emergency.
Yeah, to get your pizza. So there was a 30-minute guarantee. That started in like 79, and then they were offering it. But what happened is by the mid-80s, it was causing major problems.
It's not sustainable.
But not only that, I totally sympathize with the drivers because all the pressure's on them. If they don't get that pizza there, then Domino's absorbs the cost, which I'm assuming in the early 80s came out of their paycheck because they weren't cool about it. So the drivers were starting to get like crazy, reckless, trying to get there in time, causing accidents and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, and so then Domino's said, well, maybe we'll just do $3 off if we are 30 minutes late. And that's kind of what became more common practice. And the Noid at this time had to transition because when it first started, it was still doing the
30 minutes
thing. Mm-hmm. And it had to try and transition out of that too and start training people to basically say, well, no, you just don't want your pizza to be too late because it'll be cold and Domino's will still get it there while it's nice and hot. But it got pretty bonkers there for a while. It, not only the accidents and the reckless driving, but somebody actually died one time. Like it... Deaths started to happen.
From a
like accident
driver?
Related. Yeah. And so then they had to kind of shut that down and it did not.
Shut it down.
Shut it down. And then that's kind of. I didn't really start to create a demise in Domino's by any means.
No, I'll
but
take
it just,
care of that.
Yeah. But it just made it more like maybe you need to chill out with the campaigning. And but the Noid was out here like being the face of it. Mm-hmm. So now people had this idea that. They knew the Noid. They knew that Domino's had this 30-minute delivery, even if they didn't anymore. And it kind of sparked this idea. Like you said, as a kid, I assumed anytime I ordered a pizza...
You have half an hour.
Like Ninja Turtles, right? Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds. Like you had to be there. And otherwise, you got it for free. So
now,
which funny. I think that there is a Noid reference in Ninja Turtles now that I'm thinking about it.
I don't remember.
Okay, anyway.
Is this the same time, and you don't have to know this because you don't know everything, but I wonder if this is the same time that Little Caesars was doing the pizza guy.
No, I think he came later.
He had to be like a response to the Noid.
Yeah, maybe.
They had to be trying.
I mean, there were big ones at the time, like Chester Cheetah and all those kind of things.
Yeah,
I mean,
but like direct
Captain Crunch
pizza related rivalries.
Oh, I'm sure there was a mad dash to be like, we got to keep up because Domino's
little
is killing
Caesars,
it.
Get a tiny little cute Caesar.
Caesar to do the pizza. Okay. Maybe. I could probably see that being around that time.
Yeah, I bet so.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to hand it over to you because this is where the story gets even more convoluted and bizarre.
It takes kind of a turn and this is the beginning of the end for the Noid. So we're going to go from lighthearted to kind of dark and sad. I don't really know how to... segue, but we'll go to 1989. So this, what year was the Noid created? It was 86.
Yeah.
So 3 years later, we're looking at, there's a guy named Kenneth Lamar Noid. N-O-I-D.
What are the odds? Did he wear a giant rabbit costume?
He did not.
Oh, wait. Before you go into that, did you ever see those costumes? Did you ever see the Noid costumes?
No. Did it exist?
Yeah, they had, like the Barbie and the Inspector Gadget, the plastic masks that would come with like fold-out plastic.
Yeah, I did a She-Ra one year.
Yeah, I had a He-Man one. Mm-hmm. They had one for the Noid back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I've seen it because I can immediately conjure up an image.
Okay, sorry. I didn't.
Okay. Not wearing a Noid costume. Kenneth Lamar Noid was 22. He started thinking or like seeing these commercials and he thought they were about him.
Was he schizophrenic?
We will later discover. Yes. In fact, he was schizophrenic, but he sees these commercials and he's like functioning in his life. Nobody has diagnosed him as schizophrenic at this point.
Did he look like the Noid?
No.
He just thought that they were talking about him.
Yeah. So he sees these commercials and we later learned that he he had some delusions around the Noid specifically, but he became very upset and agitated. And on January 30th of 1989, he decided to take action. So he went to Domino's Pizza in a town called either Chambly, Georgia, or Chambly, Georgia. I don't know. I don't care. I'm not going there.
Well, that one listener that we have from there will
from
let us know.
Chambly. Yeah. So he walks in with a .357 Magnum that's loaded.
Oh, this is like serious.
Yeah, it like takes a turn. So he goes in and he holds two employees. It's like 11 in the morning. He takes them hostage. Yeah, he's just like 11 in the morning, going to go to Domino's, going to take some hostages.
Because he's mad about the commercials?
About the Noid, specifically the Noid. So he goes in there and this standoff lasts 5 hours. So he's waving a gun around and I think he hurts the hostages, but I couldn't find anything specific and I'll tell you why in a little bit, why I think he hurts them. But he holds them hostage and he reveals to them that he believes Tom Monahan, the owner of Domino's, has stolen his name for the Noid.
Oh, interesting. So they're like, he thinks that he's just, his identity has been compromised and they've created this campaign as like a smear campaign.
It's specifically against him. He thinks that Tom Monahan is trying to get people to avoid him. Kenneth Lamar.
This is weird.
Which is so sad.
It
if
is
you
sad.
Feel like you're being avoided because of a commercial campaign.
Because your name's annoyed.
so he thinks his name's been stolen, and so he decides he's going to take some hostages. So he has the employees as they're being held hostage. I think they call the police at some point, but it was really unclear in all of my 40 minutes of research.
Only the best here at Laser Graves.
So he has them call like headquarters at Domino's and demand, how much do you think he demands?
Ooh, wait, this is 1989?
Yeah, what's a big dollar amount?
It reminds me of that Austin Powers scene when he's like $1 million. I think...
Don't undershoot.
$500,000.
No, 100,000.
Oh, that's pretty close.
So he demands 100,000
as like retribution for stealing his name and smearing his name.
He just says he's gonna get $100,000.
Like, and what does he want to be done with the Noid?
He doesn't care. But he also wants a white limousine as his getaway car.
Oh, yes. So, okay, this got way cooler all of
so
a sudden.
So, obviously...
Because everybody knows a speedy getaway car is a limousine.
A limousine in 1980.
And nobody will know limo. Who you are driving downtown with a limousine.
Oh, I would like to think that he was like, and I want a hot tub in the trunk.
Exactly.
And
better have
two
a disco
Playboy
ball
bunnies.
Inside.
Yeah. So... I think it's
Playboy bunnies dressed as the Noid.
I think that. Oh,
oh
no.
<man.
laughs> Okay. So I think it was at this point that they go, oh, he's not well. It wasn't like a normal holdup. So
they took him seriously at first?
Well, he had a gun. You can't mess around. He's holding two people.
But he wasn't rambling like, you stole my name, you stole my name. And
well, he'd been doing that to the hostages, but I don't know what he'd been saying to the police. They didn't reveal that in any of the articles I read. But obviously his demands showed pretty clearly that he's unwell. And so he begins negotiating with police, trying to get his money and his limo. But he agrees to release a hostage for a copy of a book.
Oh, okay. What book?
The Widow's Son.
What is that?
So The Widow's Son is a book. It's part of a trilogy called the Historical Illuminatus Chronicles.
He was Illuminati?
It's three novels.
This just got real.
It was actually intended to be five novels, but the author eventually died. The author was Robert Anton Wilson. So the first novel was called The Earth Will Shake. The second novel, The Earth Will Shake came out in 1982. So I don't even know if Mr. Noid, Mr. Kenneth Noid, actually read the book, the first book. I assume so.
Was he like a conspiracy theorist?
It kind of seems like it.
Oh, so okay. The like a paranoid conspiracy, yeah. Illuminati, the government's out to get us, and now they stole my name, and they're, oh, okay, it's all...
You can kind of see a chain developing. So yeah. The Widow's Son came out in 1985. The third book doesn't come in until after the crime, so it doesn't really matter, but it's called Nature's God. So The Widow's Son, the book he demanded, came out in 1985. He'd had time to read it, so I don't know if he'd read it already or if he just had read the first and really wanted the second. It was never clarified. But the book is about the Freemasons. It's a conspiracy. In the book, the protagonist is held by a mysterious group who attempt to convince the protagonist that he is a descendant of Jesus.
Okay.
So,
wow.
This is the book he demands, and it was popular enough that the police were able to get a hold of it. Obviously, they wanted to get a hostage if they could, so they got it. They got a copy of The Widow's Son, and they brought it to him, and he said, never mind. I'm not going to do that.
like he's...
I don't know if he took the book and was like, never mind, you can't have a hostage, or if he just said, never mind altogether.
Oh, he didn't give the hostage up.
No. He kept both hostages and said, okay, never mind. I don't know if he took the book first.
That would be so cool.
I really tried to find out, but I couldn't. So then it had been going on. This is a 5-hour standoff at this point. And he got hungry and he demanded... Although, can you imagine, first of all, you're at a pizza place and time's wearing on and you're like, there's
Domino's.
Your eyes just kind of dart to the kitchen and he's like, okay, guys, you have to make me two. And he didn't demand regular pizzas. He demanded two specialty pizzas. And it was either, I read a couple of articles and they were like, and possibly a salad. Some people were like, definitely a salad. And other people were like, no, it's maybe a salad. So definitely two specialty pizzas.
That the hostages had to make him?
Yes, he like held them at gunpoint and made them make pizzas.
It's convenient, though.
I mean, it's weird too because I wonder, like, were they crying? Was it really traumatic, or if they were like,
I would imagine it's pretty traumatic. He's got a gun.
I would assume so, but we're 5 hours in, and were they like,
So he just had the munchies.
He just wants pizza?
He's waiting for his white limo.
Can you imagine watching that unfold? It would go either two ways. You'd be like, he's pretty chill, just a little crazy. Or, holy crap, this guy is like total wild card, don't know where I'm going, I'm terrified, I'm making pizza with my tears.
Oh, so weird.
I tried really hard to find articles from the hostages, like, that interviewed them, but I couldn't find a single one.
I wonder if they did any interviews or if it just...
They had to. Can you imagine if you were a Noid hostage? I would be, like, standing on the mountaintops being like, that was me. I was a Noid hostage. So, I don't know.
A Noid hostage.
Yes. So he made them create two specialty pizzas and possibly a salad. And then he decided to eat them because he was hungry. And he puts the gun in his lap. He, like, sets it on his lap. And they go, this is our chance. And they bolt. They leave. They escape. And he's in there with his pizzas and maybe a salad.
And his gun.
Inside of a Domino's with a gun in his lap. And obviously he doesn't know what to do. I don't know if he finished his pizzas. I also tried to find that out.
This isn't going to end well, is
it? It says a short while later, he gave himself up to the police.
Oh, okay.
But it was the short while later that piqued my interest because I wondered if he finished the pizza.
He's like, guys, I'll be out in a sec. Chill out.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he did. So I presume he finished his meal. So he surrendered after that, and he was charged with kidnapping. And this is where I think he hurt them, because he was also charged with aggravated assault.
Yeah.
I don't know what the parameters of that is, but he was charged with it, extortion, you know, the 100,000 in the white limo. And
the book.
Oh, yeah. He extorted the widow's son from the police. Possession of a gun or a firearm while in the process of committing a crime. And so after he was taken into custody, he was questioned by the police, and he said that Tom Monahan, the owner, had been rifling through his apartment, like going to his house and rifling through his stuff, and just kind of trying to generally steal his identity.
So he had these delusions that the manager of a local Domino's.
No. Tom Monahan is the owner of all Domino's.
Oh, it just happened to be there. Oh, I didn't know that. It's based out of Alabama?
I have no idea where they're based. He's in Georgia, but he was just saying the owner of all of the Domino's.
Oh, okay.
He thinks this man has been going to his house.
Who was the hostage? Not Tom Monahan?
Nah, just two dudes.
Oh, okay,
or chicks.
Okay,
I don't actually even know the gender.
Yeah, I was
confused. So, two rando employees of a Domino's in Chambly, Georgia. Chambly. Okay, so obviously they are interviewing him after this crime, and it becomes increasingly clear that he's unwell mentally. And then he was, tried at court. They found him not guilty by reason of insanity.
When that still worked. It feels like that never happens anymore.
I feel like it doesn't normally. It's not a valid
But they've got
defense.
Pretty strict on it now.
He was very clearly paranoid schizophrenic. He was diagnosed as such. And I think that just the nonsense level of his claims and the way that he spoke to his hostages through the negotiation process, I don't think there was really any argument. So he was held in the Georgia Mental Health Institute. And then I think he was released on parole at some point. They medicated him or whatever. I don't really know. But he actually ended up killing himself in 1995.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's a bummer.
I know. So they weren't supposed to release him until they felt he was well, but he never got well. But he did leave behind a wife and two kids.
Oh, he was like a functioning dude?
Yeah, he was involved in his church and stuff.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, so he
just imagine
really
it'd be like
that
guy that like tinfoils his windows and talks about how the government's like tapped his phone line.
Well, I think he was that. And I think he kind of teetered on the edge for a while. It seems like he had been kind of functional and then fell over the edge and kind of came back. But I don't really know.
But he had a wife and kids. That's crazy.
Two daughters, yeah.
Wow, what a strange twist to that story. I mean, it's a sad ending, but it's a really fascinating event of the 80s.
Yeah, and so after that, like, it obviously got a lot of attention. Oh, and the police officer who described it, and I don't know if this was a bad joke, described Mr. Noyd, Kenneth Noyd, as paranoid. I know. Was he making a joke? Nobody knows. He knows.
Everybody's a comedian.
I know. So, yes, he was paranoid, a paranoid schizophrenic. But obviously it cast a pretty dark shadow over this entire Noyd character. Because when you have a major hostage situation develop...
It's not good PR.
No, it's really bad,
in fact. So, did you read up on... I'm curious to know what the fallout was with Domino's. So, was this the reason why they phased out the Noid?
They claim that it wasn't, but it really phased out right after this.
I mean, it seems like the timing...
Yep.
Well, because the video game came out in 90.
Well, here's the thing. It was probably playing out pretty fast anyway. Like, the Noid was probably on decline.
Yeah, they had a good chunk of, six to,
yeah,
to nine.
I think,
so, yeah, I mean, they had a good 4 years, 5 years out of it.
I think they would be probably claiming that it was just waning anyway. But this definitely, like, was the final nail in the coffin, perhaps.
Yeah.
And then... they never really recovered, although they have tried to revive the Noid a couple of times for, and I'm going to use my air quotes. Can you see them?
Mm-hmm.
For nostalgic purposes.
Yeah, that's exactly what I have right here.
Okay.
That he's reappeared for, and I have nostalgic reasons is what I wrote. Because that's what it is. They did, from time to time, it's popped up with like a t-shirt here and there, or maybe a little throwback in one of the campaigns. The big thing is that he's appeared in pop culture over the last several years.
Mm-hmm. I could see him making a comeback.
You know, since the 2000s, really. He appeared in, the big one was like, he was in an episode of Family Guy. Mm-hmm. He was in an episode of 30 Rock. The Simpsons have used him a couple times. So it's like, because he's like Max Headroom. It's this social conscious pop culture reference that you... Anybody who grew up in the 80s, if you say pizza's there at 30 seconds or, you know, 30 minutes or whatever, you're like, oh, yeah, because of the Noid, avoid the Noid. And so it's really interesting to see that, in my honest opinion, I think they could reclaim him.
I do, too, because nobody remembers this specific crime anymore. I just kind of vaguely recalled it, but I think most people wouldn't.
I'd never even heard of it. In the Noid... all things 80s right now are real trendy anyway. I mean, people probably have like podcasts devoted only to the 80s. So,
oh, what kind of weirdo would do that?
But I think that they could probably do it. I mean, they could probably bring them back a little bit.
But could they bring back the Noids TV show?
I don't know.
Or bring it just for the first time.
I do think that I know he was an advertising character, and it's weird. It's like, let's do a show on Captain Crunch, but there was something weird about the Noid that was always different and
it's creepy.
It was eccentric, I would say that. And now knowing, like, when we know the background of who the makers were, that they were these, like, world-class animators and strange voice actors, like, it was really top-level, polished advertising. It wasn't, you know, just simple stuff. And so... there's a reason why maybe it caught on and struck a chord with so many people, but I just think back to it as a kid, seeing the signs, seeing them on billboards. When you'd go to get a pizza at Domino's, he'd be on the box, he'd be everywhere. And like I said, I had the little figurine. I mean, it was just part of what it was in the
80s. It was everywhere,
yeah. And so the fact that there was this strange event that happened in the 80s around it with this guy who was mentally unstable, what a bizarre tale. Mm-hmm. And that's just been kind of, for the most part, lost in time. I mean, you can, if you know to look for it, you can read up on it, but I don't think anybody would give it two thoughts.
No, and there's not a lot on it. I even had a hard time finding just the obituary of Kenneth Lamar.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think most people just thought that it was a character that played out and that was the end of it. But there was obviously so much more to it.
So much more.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I'm not annoyed.
No. And you're not the annoyed.
I actually am.
Okay. Well.
Halloween. Both.
I thought about that.
Adult Noids.
It would be really funny to dress as the Noid.
So, can you just imagine seeing two grown adults walking on the street?
I can definitely see that. I can see us doing that.
Oh, it's so creepy.
But you should do the Smurfette version of the Noid.
What?
That would be hilarious.
How do you, just like a blue...
Like with a wig? Like a female Noid?
No.
A Noidette?
Oh, I like the
all right,
possibilities.
I okay, everyone. Well, I hope you enjoyed the episode. It was interesting for me because I didn't know any of this. And we'll be back next week with a movie. You can watch it ahead of time if you haven't already seen it. We're going to be doing Tobe Hooper's classic Life Force.
Tobe Hooper.
So if you're interested, give that a watch first because then maybe it'll be fun to listen to.
Agent Hooper.
And as always, you can follow us on Instagram. You can download our podcast on a variety of places, Podbean, Spotify, iTunes. You rate, review to everybody who's rating and reviewing.
Do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. It's been great. So please give us a little 5-star or something because that helps us move on.
Not something. A 2-star is not good.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's a free show. Give us a 5-star.
Five or nothing.
Yeah. And you can follow, like I said, us on
at Laser Graves.
At Laser Graves on Instagram. I'm on Instagram at EK Wimmer. You're on Instagram at
Mariah Rose Wimmer.
And that's that. So we'll be back next week for another fascinating look at something from the 80s.
Woo!
Bye.
Bye.